All right. Hey, well, today we're continuing in our series, week two of our series called Say Yes. And just watching those roller coasters makes me a little dizzy, right? And one of the things that we wanted to bring that emotion into us, because a lot of times people think what it means to follow Jesus is this boring, mundane, you know, kind of thing. But we've been inviting you in this series to say yes to something much different, to experience all that Jesus is and what Jesus wants you to be a part of in your life, this adventure of following him. And let me ask you this question. As we think about saying yes, have you ever noticed that some of life's greatest adventures started, or you experienced them, because you said yes to something or you said yes to someone? Have you noticed that? Some of life's greatest adventures. Maybe for you, like for instance, you got invited to go on a trip. You got invited to go on a retreat, a church camp, whatever. You got invited to go to something, and you were maybe a little reluctant, but you said yes. And that trip, maybe you got lost in the woods somewhere, and you didn't know where you were. Or maybe you went on a retreat, and you thought it was going to be awful, and you ended up meeting Jesus there. Like that experience was something that you'll never forget. It was something that maybe changed your life because you said yes. Or maybe one day, you may remember one day you stood at an altar face to face with a person that you love, and together you pledged your life one to each other and you said yes. And although it's not been perfect all the time, although there's been a lot of stuff that you've been able to walk through together, saying yes has been one of the most incredible adventures of your life. Maybe for you, when you said yes, maybe you said yes to attend a certain college. You know, you got if back in the olden days, like me, you get a letter that says, "Congratulations, you've been accepted." For the newbies, you now get balloons and confetti on a computer screen, right, telling you've been accepted. And you said yes to attend a school, and that journey has changed so many things for your life. It's been an adventure. Maybe you said yes to a job or to an opportunity, to something in your life. And the same is true when it comes to the early disciples, when it comes to Jesus' disciples. Jesus invited the earliest disciples. He said, "Come follow me. Come follow me." And when they did, when they said yes to following him, they experienced so many, this adventure that changed their lives forever and changed the world forever. And so in this series, Say Yes, what we're inviting you to do is to go on that adventure with Jesus. And we're looking at five key things that we believe Jesus is inviting all of us to say yes to. Five things that Jesus doesn't want you to miss in your life. And if you'll say yes to things, you will experience the abundant life, purposeful living, and what Jesus wants to do in your life on this adventure with him. And so today we're going to be focusing on the second thing that we can say yes to. Today we're going to be focusing on saying yes to doing life with Jesus. And I don't mean just to do life with Jesus in certain compartments of your life, but what it means, what would it look like in your life, is instead of following Jesus in just certain areas or being around Jesus just in church, what would it look like to really do life, to let Jesus be part of your everyday life? That's what I want to invite you to say yes to today. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to be out on a boat in the middle of the water. Anybody like being on a boat? We're by Lake Lanier, you know, goodness sakes, you know. So I hope you like the water. Many of you have done that. I grew up going to the lake with my family, and we're water skiers. My family has a boat that they keep up way on the north end of Lake Lanier, because we used to be big water skiers. I loved, you know, skiing with one and two, and I tried to barefoot, and I end up on my face, and, you know, I love water stuff, with tubing and all that kind of stuff. Well, one day when I was younger, my family, we were at the beach, or not the beach, I'm thinking about the beach and the lake at the same time, but we were at the lake as a family on our family boat, and it was a beautiful day. I mean, we had done everything we loved to do, swim and tube and ski, and it was awesome. The weather was great until all of a sudden over the trees of Lake Lanier comes rolling in these dark evil clouds, right? These mean clouds, as my daughter likes to say, those are mean, Daddy. Like, they are mean, right? But these mean clouds came over the, rolled over the trees, and all of a sudden the sky went black, and we found ourselves in the middle of the water, in the middle of a huge storm before we could even do anything about it. And it was one of those things where you could just feel the atmosphere changing from sunny and nice to, have you ever had that experience where the hair on the back of your neck kind of starts to stand up, or on your arms starts to stand up? And it was one of those experiences, and suddenly, surely enough, the lightning and thunder started happening, and I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. Like, we're in the middle, like, storms are scary. Storms are scary when you're in your house sometimes, but when you're on a boat, when you're on the boat in the middle of the water, like, they're terrifying. And so here, the storm is raging, and the wind was starting to kick up. And if you've ever been on Lake Lanier, when the wind starts blowing, the waves start going. And the waves were starting to crash against our boat, bigger and bigger and bigger. And my dad at the time, as the rain was starting to come down like buckets from heaven, my dad realized, we got to get out of here. And so he's like, let's get back to the marina. And so he puts the boat in gear. Now, thankfully, my dad, what you got to know about him is he has grown up on the water his whole life. Yeah, in Knoxville, Tennessee, he grew up driving boats and working on boats and all sorts of things. He knows everything about how to navigate every situation on the water. And so he's like, we got to get out of here. And so he puts the boat in gear. And, if you've ever been on a boat in the middle of a storm, though, you can't just take off. Because even in the middle of the day, it gets really, really dark. The visibility's low. But the rain started coming down like nothing I'd ever seen on the lake. We don't get this experience when we drive our car in the rain. But man, if you're on a boat, you're kind of, out there, on an island, if you will. Because you start driving, and as the rain starts coming down, the faster you drive, the rain feels like needles against your skin. The faster you drive, the harder and the sharper the needles feel, right? As the rain is falling down. And so I was just nervously huddled behind the windshield thinking, dear God, please get us back. This is not good. Hopefully lightning doesn't strike. What if? What could happen? But strangely enough, although I could have been worried about everything out on the lake, there was also this sense of calm. There was this sense of calm because for me, I realized who was in the boat with me. I got the one who knows how to navigate every situation. My dad was in the boat with me, my father. And so he navigated us all the way back to the dock, and we got off, and we were drenching wet. We got in the car, and I remember thinking, like, I never want to experience a storm like that, especially on the water, ever again. But I was so thankful that we were safe. Let me ask you this question. If you were to face the worst storm of your life, who do you want in the boat with you? If you were to face the worst storm of your life, who do you want in the boat with you? Ironically enough, some of Jesus' disciples found out the answer to that question in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there, or your device. If you've got a Bible app, feel free to turn there. The words are going to be on the screen, but Matthew chapter 8, the story actually picks up in verse 23, and it starts with this very simple phrase. Here's what it says, Matthew 8:23. It says, then he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. His disciples followed him. And if you were here last week, that was the first invitation that we said that this is what Jesus invites all of us to be part of. The first invitation for all of us is to come follow him. Come follow him. Come be a part of what Jesus wants to do in your life. And so the disciples got in the boat. They followed Jesus into the boat in this story because that's what disciples do. They follow. They follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. See, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean that we just pray a prayer one time and we walk away. It doesn't mean that we check a box sometime, we say, all right, I'm good, I'm a disciple. It means that we daily follow Jesus. That's what we talked about last week. It means, disciples mean that we go wherever Jesus leads us. We're open to what Jesus wants to do in our life. And when Jesus calls us somewhere, what do disciples do? They follow Jesus there. And so back to the boat, here's what it says in verse 24. It says this, the very first part of 24. It says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. When I read this, I was thinking about that scene on Lake Lanier that day. I was thinking this must have been like the experience that they felt. So the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is a pretty big lake. It's 13 miles long. Here's a picture of it, Sea of Galilee, 13 miles long, about 7 miles wide, and it's surrounded by mountains. And so, beautiful place. I mean, this must have been an incredible day to be on the lake that day. And maybe when the disciples went out that day, maybe it looked like that. Maybe it was sunny and everything was good and it was calm waters, and so they got in the boat and they followed Jesus. You know, and so you got to know, though, that storms are really common in the Sea of Galilee even today. Wind will come over the mountains and they'll sweep across the water of the lake, and it'll draw up some really big waves, just like they do in Lake Lanier. And remember, here these guys are. They don't have the luxury of power, transmissions and stuff like that. They're on a wooden boat, probably made by a carpenter. Maybe it was even Jesus's, biological daddy, or adopted daddy, right? Joseph, right? Who knows? But anyway, made by a wooden boat by a carpenter, and all they have is the sails and paddles, you know? And they're thinking, we're in the middle of the lake. What are we going to do? Now, Rembrandt, the great artist Rembrandt, put together his painting of this scene. Here's what it looks like. I think it gives us a great picture of what this scene might have looked like for these disciples. I mean, you can see them. They're all struggling and trying to make sure that they keep the boat afloat. And you may be thinking, it's just a lake. Rembrandt, aren't you being a little dramatic, right? This looks a little crazy, you know? But you got to know, have you ever been to the Great Lakes before? You ever been or seen the Great Lakes before? Although it's just a lake, it looks like the ocean when you're on kind of the beach area because the water is so big and so long. It's one of those things where the wind will sweep over it and it'll cause these big waves, especially as you go out. And this is the same kind of scene: big storm, lots of waves. And you got to keep in mind that some of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. You know, they'd seen some storms in their life. They knew kind of what storms were about. But this storm, you can tell that it was different than most. It wasn't going well for them. And so the waves are pounding them, and they're crashing into the boat. And it was so bad that you're going to see in a minute that even some of these guys who were fishermen, they were terrified for their lives. And so here's the thing. When we think about storms, storms are never something that any of us want to happen in our lives. Storms is never something that if you were to say, hey, who wants to go through a trial today? Who wants to go through a storm today? None of you are going to be like, yep, that's me. Sign me up, right? Put me on that serve team, storm chaser. We don't want to do that, right? But when it comes to storms, I think there's three, let's get real practical. I think there's three types of storms that we oftentimes face in our lives. Here's the first type of storm is this. Number one is storms that just happen to you. Sometimes we face storms that just happen to you. Sometimes things just happen in our lives. And it's one of those things where for instance, that's when you go to a doctor's appointment and the doctor gives you bad news that you weren't expecting and something just happens. Or maybe it's a situation where maybe you enjoyed your job and you have a job and you walk in one day and you find out that your job is being eliminated and something has happened to you. Or maybe it's a situation where you got passed over for something or didn't get an opportunity or a closed door happened and something just happens to you. Sometimes we face storms where basically it's a difficulty or a trial that just happens. It just happens to us. The second kind of storm that I think we face is this. Number two is storms that are caused by your decisions. Sometimes storms come because they're caused by our decisions. Some of us may call this season college, or maybe a time in our life where we were like Jonah and we were running in the opposite direction of where God wanted us to go in all of our life or in areas of our life. And we make decisions. The Bible would call this sometimes sins, right? We run in the opposite direction of God, and we find ourselves as a result of that in the middle of a storm because of those decisions, right? Like maybe for some way we made some bad decision in a relationship or in our finances, in our career. Maybe there was just a momentary lapse of judgment, and There's grace available to us, but man, there's consequences because of that decision. And so sometimes storms are caused by your decisions. Here's the third thing, and this is the most interesting cause of a storm. Number three is this. The third type is storms that come from boldly trusting God. Storms that come from boldly trusting God. And you may say, what? I thought storms are bad. Like, why do storms come from trusting God, from boldly trusting God? That may seem really funny. Because we oftentimes think that if we just follow Jesus, that there will always be clear sailing. You'll turn some messages on TV today that will tell you, if you just follow Jesus, and they'll smile real big, right? If you just follow Jesus, that he will always give you peaceful situations. And that's not the gospel. That's not what the disciples encountered, right? But here's the thing. So if you follow Jesus long enough and far enough, you'll often find yourself in the middle of something that's over your head. If you follow Jesus enough, you'll follow him to places that are over your head. In fact, God will sometimes call you to serve in a big way, or to give in a big way, or to lead people, or to love people beyond what you can do on your own. And I want to tell you, that's not a bad thing. Because in those moments of my life where I've taken a step of faith to trust Jesus in a big way, those are the moments where I've realized the faithfulness of God. I've seen the power of God at work. Because when you get to the end of what you can do on your own, those are the moments where you have to look up and say, okay, God, I need you to show up. I need you to come through. And you find the joy of what it's like to be used by God, right? Sometimes God will also stretch you with a new opportunity, something that's over your head. And those God callings can feel like a storm that's crashing over your own capacity. God, I can't do this without you. That's a good place to be. Because sometimes Jesus leads you into a storm because he wants to show you how big he is. And he wants to invite you to be a part of something that's bigger than you. He wants to display his glory and his power in your life. If you'll say yes, he's going to use you in a big way. So those are three types of storms that we face. So let me ask you this. What type of storm are you facing right now? What type of storm are maybe you just coming out of? What season are you just coming out of? Something that just happened, something that maybe you caused, or maybe something where God's leading you into something bigger. Here's the thing. You don't always have to have time to reflect when you're in the middle of a storm, but sometimes you do. And I wonder if these disciples thought what many of us would think, why, Jesus, did you lead us here? Like, why did you lead us into this storm? Because Jesus, I mean, if you are who you say you are, that you're the Son of God and the creator of the universe, like if you're all that, why, like you, that means you probably knew we were going to hit this storm. So why would you call us on the lake to get on the boat with you and to lead us right in the middle of a storm? And this is where, you know, doubting Thomas, probably looked at Simon Peter and he probably said, see, I told you we shouldn't have gotten the boat with Jesus, right? I told you we shouldn't have done this. This is what happens when we do something crazy and we trust Jesus with something big. There's always Thomases out there. Thomas is a good guy, right? But some of us are like that, where we struggle with this whole thing. When all of a sudden, if an opposition comes to something God's called us to do, we start to think, oh, well, maybe God's not in this. Maybe God didn't call us here. And oftentimes, God wants you to press into those moments to see his power at work. And so, but here's the thing. They're all freaking out. What's going to happen? But check out what Jesus is doing in the boat. Here's what it says, the end of verse 24. It says this. It says, but Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. I mean, come on, Jesus. We're all freaking out in the boat and you're taking a nap, you know? Let's be honest. While they're all fearing for their life, isn't this what we're concerned about in our life? When we go through storms in our life, isn't that our big concern? That maybe in the back of our minds, the thing that we are afraid of most is that maybe God is sleeping on us. That like we know you got the whole world in his hands, right? You got the whole world in his hands. But I got this little bitty situation that's a big deal to me. And are you paying attention, Jesus? Are you asleep in this moment? Like, are you paying attention to what's going on in the itty-bitty details of my life? In fact, I want you to know that Jesus is, I don't believe he's asleep on this boat because he's not paying attention. Because I want you to know that nothing is too big in your life, and nothing is too small for Jesus to have his eye and his hand on you. Scripture tells us that his eyes are on the sparrow. You know that song. His eyes are on the sparrow, and so I know he's watching over me and over you, right? He's watching every detail. He wasn't asleep because he wasn't paying attention. I think he's asleep because he's not worried. They're all freaking out. They're all worrying. In fact, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. It gives it some color. It says he was sleeping on a cushion. I mean, he's just kind of lounging out in the middle of this, meaning he's sleeping comfortably in the middle of a storm that we're all freaking out about, you know? I love this picture of Jesus because it reminds us of the peace of God. It reminds us of the power of God that comes from his presence that's available to all of us. I mean, this storm is real, and the storms in your life are real. There's things that you face that's dangerous, that's real, that's scary, that's terrifying, but Jesus isn't worried. I mean, his heart and his mind in that moment were peaceful enough that he could lay his head on that cushion and he could go to sleep in the storm. And I think so many times, it's just a reminder that so many times we are so worried. We get so stressed out about some things in our lives. I was talking with Doug Thrasher, one of my mentors and our district superintendent, and Doug Thrasher's pastor. And he said, you know what's interesting? He said, I bet if we were to all take a moment and write down all the different things we're worried about. You know, you start listing all the things you're worried about right now. He said, I would imagine that most of those things that we worry about are temporal things. Things that are those earthly things, those earthly worries. Things that are going to pass away someday. And those aren't bad. Jesus cares about them. But it's so interesting because I think sometimes God wants us to look to the heavens and to be worried about the things that God is worried about. Like people who are out in our community who don't have a relationship with Jesus. People that are hurting in our world. You know, things like that. But anyway, here they are. Sometimes we're so worried and stressed out about a storm that's in front of us that seems so big, wondering, like, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do? And those are real feelings and real thoughts. But here's the first lesson I think we learn in the middle of a storm, when we learn really when we're doing life with Jesus. Here's the first lesson we learn. Number one is that there will always be storms in life, but Jesus is bigger than any storm. There will always be storms in life, but Jesus is bigger than any storm. One of the weirdest verses in all the Bible is when Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. And that's not the moment where they're like, yay, let's get behind that. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. I mean, it's the truth. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, no matter what we go through, nothing is too big for God. What looks scary is no match for God. I love how Stephen Furtick once said this in one of our small groups, one of our small group videos. He once said this, whatever is over our head is under his feet. Whatever is over our head in this moment is under his feet. Because Jesus is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. And so I wonder if Jesus might have brought you here to church just to hear this part of the message, that whatever you're stressed out about right now, whatever you're worried about right now, maybe you would hear Jesus say to you, I've got this and I've got you. I got the whole world in my hands, but I've got this and I've got you. Let's continue on in the story. Verse 25, here's what it says. Verse 25. There we go. All right, it says this. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. The Greek here is really funny. It's not this long sentence. It's basically, Lord, say, you know, Lord, help drowning. It's like, you know, maybe you prayed those prayers like you don't have time to put the words, Lord, help drowning. He says, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. It continues. It says this. It says, he replied, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? It's like, Jesus, that seems like a crazy question. Are you kidding me? Why are we so afraid? We woke you up on this boat. By the way, why were you sleeping, right? We woke you up on this boat. We're afraid because although you're a carpenter, we've been on boats our whole lives, and this is a bad, bad storm. And it looks like if we don't get out of here, we're about to die in this storm, right? It's a real thing. And I think when Jesus says, why are you so afraid? I don't think he's really asking a question here. I think he's almost making a statement here where I think he's saying something more like this. Have you forgotten who's in the boat with you? Have you forgotten who's in the boat with you right now? I mean, with all this stuff going on, like, have you forgotten who you're with right now? I mean, if you realize that Jesus is in the boat with you, I mean, you might curl up and take a nap right there with him because you realize you don't have to sweat about it. He's got it. And it's one of those things where it's almost like Jesus is saying, have you forgotten that the one who created the heavens and the earth is with you? Have you forgotten that the one who formed the mountains and who formed the waters, right? He's the one that put all the H2O and everything together, that he is with you in the boat right now. Jesus is not afraid. He's not worried. And I think the thing is, God, remember different causes of the storm. God doesn't always cause the storms in our life, but here's the second lesson we learn from that. Number two is this, is God uses storms to grow our faith and to draw us closer to him. God uses storms to grow our faith and draw us closer to him. You know, that means that God doesn't ever waste a storm in your life. Nothing that you ever encounter that God can't bring purpose out of it, that God can't do something out of it. And what I found sometimes in my life, and what I found as a pastor and walking with people in their lives, is that sometimes we can get in a place where we're just kind of coasting through life, kind of do it, you know, kind of without Jesus in the boat. You know, we can kind of come to church and do the church thing, but sometimes we can just be riding along in life without Jesus in the boat with us, really. And it's maybe one of those things that a lot of times we do it in some areas or some seasons of our life. And especially in those good seasons, those are the times when we tend to say, well, Jesus, things are going well right now. Let me take the steering wheel here, and I got it from here. You know, I'll call you, Jesus. I'll call you over if something bad happens. You know, I'll reach out to you, and we'll get you back driving the boat. And we do this sometimes. But what we find is that storms will get your attention really quick. Storms will get your attention really quick. You know, storms are clarifying because they show us who we think has the power to save us. It shows us where we think has the power to do anything to help us in our life. And as a pastor, I was sharing this past week with several people at hospitals and as I was meeting with people. One of the things I found as a pastor is that in times when we face difficulty, in times when there's a storm in our life, people choose to do one of two things. And that decision, when you say yes to that decision, it opens the door to so many things. When difficulty comes, people either choose to run toward Jesus in that moment. They run toward the one that can help them. Or they run away from Jesus and towards something else. People either run toward Jesus for who can actually help them, or people run away from Jesus and say, Jesus, like, why did you allow this to happen to me? If I guess that means maybe you're not good if all of a sudden I'm in a storm. And they run away from Jesus and they run away from community. And man, when we do that, when we run away from Jesus and from community, that's when we find ourselves in a deeper hole. For these disciples, the storm was a moment. It was the catalyst that caused them to lean in and to draw closer to Jesus. They reached out to Jesus for help. And I believe this was a moment where this storm made them realize, wow, Jesus, like, this is so bad. Like, we don't want to wait until we face another big storm to reach out to you. We don't want to wait until we reach another storm to reach out for you again. We want to do life with you in every moment, in every season. We want you to be in the boat with us all the time. So storms draw us closer to God, but storms also, God uses storms to grow our faith and to form us. You know, I was thinking about this. If you never faced a storm or a trial, you would never truly know the power of God in your life. A lot of the times when I've seen how my faith has grown is when I've gone through something difficult and I had to trust God with something big. You know? See, sometimes we think, well, if God really loves me, he would just keep me out of this storm, right? But I want you to know, God has an eternal purpose for your life. It's not just about this moment. In fact, God cares more about building your character than building your comfort. God cares more about building your character, forming you into who he wants you to be, than building your comfort. God cares more about forming your faith than about even your feelings and your fear in the moment. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to show you who he is. And the truth is, in order for your faith to grow, it needs like a weightlifter. It needs an obstacle. It needs a difficulty. It needs a trial to push against sometimes. And it's one of those things where when you see God's faithfulness in the middle of a storm, you start to realize that, wow, you were faithful here, and you start to place your faith in Jesus for all the rest of the stuff. Let's continue reading into verse 26. It says this. It says, then he, that's Jesus, got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. Verse 27, it says, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. I mean, this is really the question we should be asking. Like, who are you? Who are you that you can do all that stuff with a storm? Like, we were following you, Jesus, and like you loved people and you did some cool things, but who are you that you can do something like that? Because if you can do something like that with the waves, then what might you be able to do in my life? Here's the thing. It's crazy because Jesus spoke. He just spoke a word, and it went from this raging storm to perfect peace in a moment. Perfect peace in a moment. And the original language here is really, really interesting. It's the word for muzzling a dog, like muzzling a wild dog. It basically says Jesus muzzled the wind and he muzzled the waves. And I've been to dog races at Daytona Beach, and it's funny because these dogs are trained, but they'll try to put the muzzle, you know, a muzzle on the dog so they don't bite each other. It's to protect the dogs before they race. And it's funny because sometimes you'll get a wild one and the trainer's, you know, fighting the dog and, you know, trying to do all sorts of things to get this muzzle over the dog's mouth so the dog can race and it can be safe and all that stuff. And I was just thinking about this, like, it's hard enough to muzzle a dog, but here Jesus is and he takes the storm. He takes nature and he's like, whew, he muzzles it. He stops it. He brings peace in the middle of it. And I think it shows us this third and final truth. What we find when we're doing life with Jesus is that, number three, Jesus can bring us peace in the middle of any storm. Jesus can bring us peace in the middle of any storm. Now, here's the thing. Jesus can bring us peace in the middle of any chaos we face. You know, it's one of those things where this is what Jesus wants to do in your life and in your faith. He wants to bring you peace. Not just this temporary peace, but he wants to bring you this internal peace, this shalom that can last forever. And here's the thing, you don't ever experience that kind of peace unless you say yes to walking with Jesus daily, to doing life with Jesus in every area of your life. Here's what that means for me. And there was a transition in my life where I went from a religious pursuit of Jesus to a relationship with Jesus, from a religion to relationship. And for me, what it means is every single day I get up and it's an opportunity to just be consciously aware of God in my life. One of the things it means for me is that in order to do life with Jesus, it takes some intentionality. It takes oftentimes I get into God's word and Jesus begins to speak to me through that. Another thing it means is I get up each day and sometimes I'll say, all right, God, here's my schedule and what do you want for me today? You know, what do you want for me today? Or maybe I'll be walking into a meeting or walking into a situation and I'll maybe be driving to the place and I'll just talk to Jesus and I'll say, Jesus, I don't know why I'm so worried right now. I feel like I'm off today. I feel like I'm worried about this. Can you just give me peace right now? God, can you show me what that's all about? You know, and I just talk with Jesus. And one of the things that's so fun is when you move from religion to relationship, you start to realize that Jesus wants you to be a part of this adventure of what it's like to be in connection with him all the time. So here's the thing. Whether you're a follower of Jesus yet or not, we all are going to face storms. But here's the question. We started with this question. I want to end with this question. Here's the question. When you face... if you had to face the worst storm in your life, who do you want in the boat with you? Who do you want in the boat with you? I don't know about you. I can't answer for you. But for me, I want Jesus in the boat with me. Not just in those moments when things are going haywire, but I want Jesus in the boat with me all the time. And in order to do that, I've got to be walking with Jesus. And so here's the thing. Don't wait Don't wait until you're in the storm to get Jesus in the boat with you, right? I think the temptation for us is to allow Jesus to just be in certain areas of our life, but not to do life with Jesus or to let Jesus into every area. Now, here's the thing. The adventure begins when you begin to let Jesus to be part of your everyday life, to be part of your everyday decisions. Let Jesus be part of your worries and your fears. Let Jesus be part of your joys and your victories. I mean, let Jesus be part of your family, part of your finances, part of your future. And if you'll do that, here's the thing. I want you to experience true peace. I want you to experience the power and the presence of God in your life. But in order to experience that, I want to invite you to get in the boat, to get in the boat daily and to begin to allow Jesus into every area of your life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this word and this reminder that you love us so much that you want to lead us to something bigger than us. God, you can use the things that are going on in our lives, the places of chaos in our lives that are around us, the things that maybe feel uncomfortable that you sometimes lead us to or things that happen to us, and you can bring purpose out of those. And my prayer today is that if there's somebody in here today who's in the middle of a storm that seems that's over their head, that God, you would remind them, that you would remind them that you're Lord of all, that you've got them and you've got this. God, I also pray that maybe for somebody in here today, maybe they're saying, you know what, I don't have that peace in my life. I don't have that connection or a relationship with Jesus. Maybe today would be the day that you turn from your way of living to Jesus' way of living. And you decide to put your faith and your trust in him to be the savior of your sins and the leader of your life. God, I don't know, God, where you're leading all of us, God, but I pray that you would help us to see your glory and your power as we walk through the storms and as we do life with you in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.